Support for Interlochen Public Radio is provided by you and by Comfort Keepers. For over 20 years, Comfort Keepers have been providing in-home care services and keeping seniors living independently in the comfort of their own home. Learn more at ComfortKeepers.com.
This is the Up North Lowdown from Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Ed Ronco. The ski lifts are running across northern Michigan, and ski resorts here are having a pretty good year. We're going to hear a little more about that in a few moments. But today's lowdown starts in the forest. Things are finally starting to move along for landowners seeking financial relief from last spring's ice storm. A federal program offering reimbursement for the cost of restoring millions of acres of damaged forest is beginning to process applications. But many landowners and foresters say that that follows months of near silence from the federal agency in charge of the program, and some are still worried that cleaning up their woods in the wake of the storm will make them ineligible for the money. IPR's Ellie Katz tells us the story.
Neil Haney says it's taken some adjustment, getting used to how the woods here in Boyne Falls look after the ice storm. Less shade, views you didn't have before.
And the other thing that I've noticed more, and you might pick some of this up on your audio actually, is the road noise.
I'm picking up a lot of it.
At camp, you didn't hear road noise. You'd hear semis occasionally, but you never heard pickup trucks. You never heard small vehicles driving by. Now you hear everything.
Haney is the director of Lake Louise Christian Community, which includes a summer camp and vacation cottages, and suffered damage to about 1,700 acres of forest in the ice storm. For years, the organization has factored logging money into its budget to lower the cost of camp. And to avoid losing that money, the camp's forester hired logging crews to salvage as much storm-damaged timber as possible as soon as possible.
He joked with me that we'd get our first check before we got power back. He was off by a day. We got power back a day before we got our first check. So he had one crew here harvesting red pine that Friday after the storm. So, 6 days after?
Not long after that, in June, Haney applied for the Emergency Forest Restoration Program, or EFRP. It's a federal program through the USDA's Farm Service Agency. Landowners can get up to 75% of the cost of restoring their woods after a disaster. That includes things like replanting trees, removing invasive species, and taking out wood that poses a fire risk. Haney, the camp director, finally had a meeting with the feds last week.
I was pretty much told that it would be denied, that the claim would be denied, because we have done salvage harvesting before an environmental analysis could take place.
But if he and other landowners had waited to salvage that timber, they risked rot and pests, which can set in within a few months, making the logs worthless for sale. And here is where the red tape runs into the realities of a forest. Federal workers have to follow certain laws when assessing whether land is eligible, including doing an environmental review. But that can create some practical issues.
Well, you know, nature doesn't wait.
Bryce Metcalf is a local forester. He'd been contracted to do site visits for the feds, which is the first step in approving these emergency funding applications. He's concerned that the sluggish response will make it much harder and more expensive to start replanting valuable tree species for his clients, like the summer camp.
There's a lot of work that goes into trying to plant trees and get them to grow. You have to babysit them. And the longer you wait, the more herbicide you have to use to knock back the competition, and the more work it becomes. And so, you know, nobody's going to do anything perfect. But there's been enough time to get some results, and it hasn't happened.
As of this week, the Federal Farm Service Agency, or FSA, has assigned about 100 site visits to contracted local foresters like Metcalf. That's out of 1,200 applications. Christian Stevens is one of the contracted foresters who actually has done site visits, inspecting damaged property for the program.
They're still working around the clock trying to get these applications through, and everything that I've heard from FSA has been like, we should expect to see these applications moving forward soon.
This is the first time Michigan has used this emergency program on so large a scale. And that's one reason it might be taking so long. There's some others, too. Only a handful of regional staff are charged with implementing it. And in some cases, those same staff might also be responsible for distributing the Trump administration's payments to farmers after tariff disruptions. And then there was the historic government shutdown last fall. So it's been slow. The Michigan Office of the Federal Farm Service Agency declined to comment or provide information about the timeline or status of the program for this story. In an email to IPR, a representative wrote, "There just isn't time in our schedule for this interview currently." But the Michigan Department of Natural Resources did have time. Mike Smalligan is the state agency's forest stewardship coordinator. He's helped contract those local foresters to inspect damage on behalf of FSA.
This is a good use of public dollars to restore private forests because private forests produce many public goods like clean air, clean water, wildlife habitat, and contribute to Michigan's forest products economy.
And right now, it's some of the only federal disaster relief available to help restore those millions of acres of forest damaged in the storm. Smalligan is confident landowners will eventually get that money, and he's hoping working through the kinks this time will make EFRP money easier to access down the road.
And I hope that the program is well funded by Congress many years into the future, because as climate is changing and rainstorms in January become more common, it is likely that we will be needing this program more in the future.
Smalligan expects FSA will assign those other 1,100 site visits soon, and applications will start moving along in the next month or two. Back at the summer camp in Boyne Falls, Neil Haney is hopeful he'll be among that group. Some trees have already started growing back at Lake Louise Christian Community, but
the regeneration we're seeing is not the diversity that we want to see. So that's where we're wanting some money for. Of, I can go out and buy a whole bunch of white pine seedlings fairly inexpensively, but if I want to go buy some oak trees and some walnut trees and hickory, the costs start going up. And we can afford a few of those, but enough to properly reforest is out of our cost range.
He's still holding out hope these emergency dollars can help with that, even 10 months after the ice storm that undid decades of careful management. For IPR News, I'm Ellie Katz.
This winter has been some of the best weather in years for northern Michigan ski resorts. Cold temperatures and low humidity late last year meant the snow machines at Shanty Creek Resort in Bel Air could build up the mountain's base faster. Resort marketing director Lindsay Southwell says it's hard to melt the 4 feet of packed snow that make up the base, but she says the changing weather, going back and forth between warm and cold, does affect visitors' ideas of snow cover on the slopes, even if there's plenty of powder.
The variability really affects like that customer mindset. Like, if I don't have snow in my yard, or if it's raining here, well, they can't have snow in northern Michigan or snow on the slope. And that's not really the case, because we make the snow.
Antrim County has seen more than 90 inches of natural snow as of last week.
Let's go skiing, let's go skiing, let's go skiing in the morning, let's go skiing.
And that is the Up North Lowdown for Thursday, January 15th.